You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Filling the Gas Tank and Other Things in Dullsville. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Barbara Carver gets us started today. She told me about one little thing her husband Bob does for her. A lot of times Bob will do things for me and not say anything about it, she said. I have a car that I drive sometimes. He has a different one, but every once in a while he'll take mine out in the evening and get gas in it, especially if he knows I have some driving to do the next day. It's a real upper for me to get into the car that day and say, I have a full tank. I don't have to stop at the gas station. Barbara continues, that's a really little thing, and it's not even something he can see my reaction to, because I'm usually backing out of the driveway when I notice it. It's not even a romantic thing. It's really kind of Dullsville. So my message today is filling the gas tank and other things in Dullsville. Please join me in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, teach us how to love even as you have loved us. We know the words of love. Sometimes they fall easily from our lips. Words alone, O Lord, are not an adequate reflection of the greatness of your love toward us. Let your word teach us to love one another, not only in words, but also in actions. As your Son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross for our salvation, may our friends and family receive from us the words and the deeds of Christ-like love. In his name we pray, amen. Filling the gas tank and other things in Dullsville. What are some of those other things that will demonstrate that our love is genuine? Our television show on Main Street recently sent a reporter on the street to ask women this question, what can your husband do to show he loves you? Here's what we heard. He can buy me diamonds. He can cook for me. He can do housework. Be my friend. Pay attention to this one. When he wants me to do something different, or maybe doesn't agree with what I do, he doesn't think about the way he says it, and that maybe it makes me feel a little put down. In other words, she pleads that husbands be considerate when they speak. And we got this from one husband, a man named Howard Griffin. Now and then Howard tells his wife, come on, it's time for you to buy some more clothes. If we asked what men and husbands can do, we should also ask what women can do for men and wives for husbands. I'll answer this one myself. In my years of ministry, I've had more than a few troubled couples come to me. The husband, who's often desperate, who often doesn't have a clue why the marriage is foundering, will sometimes say, I work hard. I bring home a good paycheck. The wife shoots back, that's not enough. These women are right. Bringing home the bacon isn't enough. A husband's marriage vows commit him to emotional support. But, speaking as a man, I know that men appreciate respect for what we do. Be it from women or men, none of this is natural. It's easy to say, I love you, but it can be tough to demonstrate that by acts of selfless love. Sin has taught us to be selfish, not selfless. The essence of sin is that we choose to do things our way rather than doing God's will. Dr. Thomas Whiteman is the co-author of The Marriage Mender. He told me about the unnaturalness of marriage and of demonstrations of selfless love. Marriage, he said, is constantly focusing on what are my wife's or husband's needs. That doesn't come naturally. My word picture is, I'm a fisherman, and I think of a fish swimming upstream. It's constant work. As soon as you stop swimming upstream, the current takes you back down. Good relationships with others, be they friends, co-workers, spouse, children, parents, good relationships require plenty of selfless love. Unfortunately, sin has trained us to be selfish. I quoted Howard Griffin earlier. Howard was on our TV program, and he got to the nub of the matter. Reflecting on his 13 years of marriage, he said, "I've always said that love is not what love says, but what love does. And love is sacrificing for someone else's happiness, like Jesus did for us. He sacrificed himself." Jesus Christ wants to relate to you in two ways. First, Jesus invites you to believe in him as your Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. Giving of ourselves for our friends and loved ones is something that we must constantly be learning. We all have failed at this in the past, and I hate to say it, we all will fail at selfless love at various times in the future. This is the natural course of sin. Bad news, isn't it? It certainly is. The selfishness of sin has threatened and killed many relationships. The good news is that Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice once and for all. He willingly gave up his life for you and me. If sin has taught us to be selfish, the blood of Christ shed on Calvary's cross covers over our selfishness and sins with God's complete forgiveness. The Savior wasn't selfish, he was selfless. Jesus not only loved you with words, he loved you with deeds. That's the prime relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. Second, and I emphasize the word second, if you aren't related to Jesus as a sinner to his Savior, then this second relationship won't ultimately matter. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him." So, first, Jesus is your Savior. Second, he is your model, your example for daily living. Harking back to what Howard Griffin said, Jesus teaches that love is not what love says, but what love does. Paul encouraged the Philippians to practice selfless love in their relationships with one another. "Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had," he wrote in chapter 2. "Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of this equality. Instead, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, by becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. This is why God has given him an exceptional honor, the name honored above all other names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You can start filling the gas tank and other things right now. Even if you were present but not accounted for on the day of your wedding, even if you have failed to love and honor and respect your spouse, even if your will has been more important than God's will and the needs of the other, God forgives the past to everyone who is truly sorry. That can include you. God makes today a new day. God makes every day new. Talk about filling up the gas tank. Every morning when you awake, God wants to fill your life with the love of Christ. He wants to fill your life to overflowing with his selfless love. What then shall you do? Share it. Share the selfless love of Christ. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Start by striving to know that person whom you say you love. Nixon Waterman put it this way in a poem: "If I knew you and you knew me, if both of us could clearly see, and with an inner sight divine, the meaning of your heart and mine, I'm sure that we would differ less and clasp our hands in friendliness. Our thoughts would pleasantly agree if I knew you and you knew me. If I knew you and you knew me, as each one knows his own self, we could look each other in the face and see therein a truer grace. Life has so many hidden woes, so many thorns for every rose. The why of things our hearts would see if I knew you and you knew me. To know one another will take dedicated time. That will be a sacrifice on your part. Remember that our modern society has forced many of us to live as amphibians. As amphibians slide in and out of the water, we have to slide in and out of the different worlds that make up our lives. So much time is spent in the world of work. Less time is spent in that world we call home. And then there are the other worlds of your life, commuting, recreation, and what have you. Modern society forces people apart. Selfless love for one another means staying in one place long enough to get to know the other. Bob and Barbara Carver work at it this way. If at all possible, Barb says, at the end of the day, we take a walk. We have a bike trail near our house, and that's our way of recapping what's going on and stress relief. That's our time together, and we cherish that time, and we try not to let that get eroded by lots of other things coming in. And that's a part where the world does not help out. Do you really want to spend time with that person when they have been unlovable? Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He loved us even though we were born without love or reverence for God. If our modern society forces us to live amphibious lives, our sinful nature teaches us to be cavemen. Our natural tendency is to be slow to love, but quick to clobber anyone in our way. We hurt the ones we love. The mind of Christ is to get rid of your bitterness, hot tempers, anger, loud quarreling, cursing, and hatred. Be kind to each other, sympathetic, forgiving each other as God has forgiven you through Christ. The Carvers know from the experiences of 24 years of marriage that this forgiving love can be transforming. As we learn to love each other, Barbara said, because you don't automatically know to do that, we learn that we can respect each other and show each other love even in moments of anger or disappointment. And that is one of the critical things, I think, because you're going to have anger and you're going to have disappointments in your life. When your spouse is still there supporting you and giving you the encouragement, you become someone who's respected and valued, and that changes you from within. Tell me now, do you think that filling the gas tank and other little acts of selfless love is really Dullsville? No. Whether it be with co-workers, friends, neighbors, or family, following the mind of Christ in our relationships provides a joy and satisfaction that the self-seeking world cannot know. It was cute, and also true to life, to hear Charlotte Griffin talk about how she becomes suspicious when husband Howard is being especially helpful. There are so many things that he does in the home, and then I start questioning, what's your purpose? He says, I was just thinking, what can I do to show you I love you? This really isn't Dullsville. The famous prayer attributed to St. Francis asks God for selfless love. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. What God has joined together, He can help keep together. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.